Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. The name of the message tonight is A Door of Utterance. A Door of Utterance. Colossians chapter 4, we'll read verses 2 to 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Wherewithal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Our text tonight will be in verses 3 and 4, where Scripture declares, wherewithal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now this is a subject that's very dear to gospel preachers, of course. Very dear to gospel preachers. This door of utterance being opened. And the door of utterance is a door that the Lord opens for us to preach and proclaim the gospel. To preach and proclaim the gospel. And of course, gospel preachers, we love to preach about Christ. We love to tell others about our Redeemer. That's our one subject. That's our one subject, is Christ. It's Christ. So before we look at verses 3 and 4, let us consider what we looked at last week in verse 2, where we saw Paul exhort the Colossian believers to continue in prayer. And we saw that's to continue in prayer and to be watchful in prayer. We saw that was to be steadfast in prayer. And to continue means like we talked about last week, you can be in prayer at your job site, you can be in prayer when you're driving, you can be in prayer when you're just walking around, you can be in prayer in your home. Prayer is just uttering to God our needs, telling Him, lifting up to Him our needs and also the needs of others and the needs of the church, just lifting up people you love and care about, lifting up unsaved loved ones, praying that God would save them if it's His will. And so we're to seek the Lord with watchfulness. And the latter part of the verse said we are to pray with thanksgiving. We're to pray with thanksgiving. And when we consider the great things that the Lord hath done for us, it makes it easy for us to be thankful. It makes it very easy for us to be thankful. We closed that study with some things for us to consider through the week, and they were that God's people are vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. We who have salvation in Christ, we are vessels of mercy. That's what we are. Vessels of mercy. And Scripture declares that. The potter has the right to do whatever he wants with the clay, right? To make a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Well, God's people are vessels of honor because the divine potter has made it so. Because the divine potter has made it so. Another thing that will cause us to be thankful and fill our hearts with joy and thankfulness is when we think about all our sins have been purged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture declares, who beholding the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, Hebrews 1:3. So when we think about that, when we ponder that and consider that all my sins are forgiven, it'll fill our hearts with joy, beloved, with joy. And then the other point was our Savior has obtained eternal redemption for us. It's not something we have to obtain. So religion tells you got to do. No, we point you to the one who's done it all. And having obtained eternal redemption, Scripture declares this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The believer has, if you're saved, you have eternal redemption right now. Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful. Fill your heart with joy. Fill your heart with joy. And then the next point was God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we looked at that when we said, when I look at how much God's forgiven me, it should make it easy for me to forgive others. And the scripture declares that. We're to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so it fills our hearts and with joy and thanksgiving when we consider these precious truths. And when we ponder the scripture that says this, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who are the called according to His purpose? His elect, His people, given to Him, given to Christ before the foundation of the world. So amidst afflictions and sorrows of this life, the believer can say with Job, as God gives them grace and strength, because we can't say this on our own, but as God gives us grace and strength, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Yet will I trust Him. So, beloved, let us consider verses 3 and 4 tonight. Paul exhorting the Colossian believers to pray for those who preach and proclaim the gospel. Wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now note, the Apostle Paul is in bonds. He's in bonds. When he's writing this wonderful epistle, he's in bonds, beloved. He's in prison. And it's not like the prisons of today. It's a Roman prison. And he's in bonds for what? Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though he's in bonds, he's not being discharged from his commission from God, which is to what? He's commissioned from God to preach the gospel, right? And look what he's saying. He's in bonds and he's saying, wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he's in bonds, he's a prisoner, and he's asking for the Colossian believers to pray that he can have a door to preach the gospel. To preach the very thing he's imprisoned for. My. So what is this door of utterance? It's a door to preach and proclaim the free grace of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. And Paul earnestly desired, we could see it from this text, he earnestly desired to have liberty to preach the gospel, to have liberty to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always, turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians 6 he wrote this too also. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 18 to 20. Now think of this too. There's nothing more important to the Apostle Paul than preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important to him. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 18 to 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Think of this. Gospel preachers nowadays, they get up and they tell you all about themselves. Not gospel preachers, I'm sorry, not gospel. False preachers. Yeah. False preachers get up and they tell you all about themselves, right? But gospel preachers, we tell you about Christ. We proclaim Christ. He's the one topic, the one thing that we want to proclaim is preaching Christ and Him crucified. Look at this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Look at, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Remember we've seen in other scriptures, he claims that he's an ambassador for Christ, which all believers are, but he's saying here, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm still an ambassador. Even though I'm in bonds. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's praying that God would give him the words to speak, beloved. Because we preachers know that it's not by our power, and it's not by our might, but it's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. So even while he was a prisoner at Rome, when he wrote this epistle, Paul asked the Colossian saints to pray for him and to pray for his fellow ministers, his fellow preachers, that God would open unto them a door of utterance also. And we know that all things work, right? All things are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was God's sovereign purpose and plan that Paul would be in bonds when he's writing this epistle. And we know that God the Father has put all things into his hands, and Paul knew this. Therefore, Paul's asking the saints to pray to God that he would open a door of utterance. Oh, that we might pray for that. And by his divine providence, our Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who opens the door. He's the one who alone who opens the door, by which his preachers are allowed the honor, and it is an honor and a privilege, to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. What humiliation is here before us? The Apostle Paul knows. He knows. The Apostle Paul knows that he can do nothing. Nothing on his own. He knows that any ability to preach comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. He knows that any ability to proclaim Christ must come from the Lord. I've told you before, I can't tell you about somewhere where I haven't been. But if I've been there, I can tell you about it, right? See, I'm saved by grace. Gospel preachers, we proclaim what we know. What God's done for us. What God's done for us. Oh, but we know that the ability to preach, the strength to preach, the grace to preach, all must come from the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And what do we speak of? Oh, we proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And that means, I had one guy tell me one time, I think I mentioned it before, they said, all you do is preach Christ. And I said, well, I preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I said, I looked up in the dictionary and it's unfathomable. You can't even come close to even knowing all about it. It's unsearchable. But we gospel preachers get up and we preach and proclaim what God's taught us from the Scriptures. Now, Paul set a high value on the prayers of the saints here, and they're petitioning God for the furtherance of the gospel. As again, he knew that absolutely no one would be saved without hearing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God's saving grace through the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ in him alone. He knew that no one would be saved unless they heard that gospel. And so he prays that God would open. He asked the saints to pray. And we know he prayed on his own too. He asked the saints to pray for a door of utterance. A door of utterance to be opened up. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And I'll read Romans 10, 13, which says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And look at Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom in revelation in the knowledge of him. See, he must reveal Christ, or else we'll never know him. It's a revelation, beloved, from God. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. We're in our natural state, we're in darkness. Darkness. That ye may know, now every believer knows this, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, my beloved. Paul asked those believers in the Colossian church to pray for the Lord's ministers, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. A door of utterance. And note the fact, again, Paul was in prison. Think of this, too. Now look at our text here. Wherewithal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bounds. Paul was in prison. He's bound, right? Yet he sought no liberty for himself. Note that in the prayer. He didn't seek any liberty for himself. None. But he sought liberty for the preaching of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? He sought liberty for the preaching of the gospel. He didn't ask that the prison door of his cell would fly open, but he asked the brethren that if they would pray to God, oh, that peradventure that God would give Paul and other preachers the liberty to preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of this, again, which was the very reason he was in prison. So he's asking for liberty to be able to preach the very thing they put him in prison, which is Christ and him crucified. He is in bonds for the preaching of Christ. And he's asking the saints, please pray that I could still preach this gospel, that God will give me a door of utterance, that God will give me a door of utterance. Oh my, that's a heart of a preacher right there. A door of utterance to what? To speak the mystery of Christ. To speak the mystery of Christ. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, God's preachers ask for a door of utterance. They don't ask for a door to preach about themselves, because we don't have anything to say about ourselves. But they ask for a door of utterance to preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now look at this. For we preach not ourselves. Paul didn't go around promoting himself. No gospel preacher goes around promoting himself. No, we boast in Christ. And we boast in Christ alone. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I'm a servant just like you. We're all servants of Christ, we who believe. For God who commanded the light, look at this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and He did that, beloved. He did that. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, what darkness we were in. What dark? You ever been in the dark and you're groping around? It's so dark that you're groping around, you can't see nothing. Even when you close your eyes to try to get your eyes to adjust for 10 seconds, and you open them up, and it's still just pitch black. That's what we were in. We were groping around before the Lord saved us. But look at this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh my. The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed Himself. And does reveal Himself to lost sinners, His people. And God does not open up doors of utterance for His preachers to talk about political issues or about worldly problems from the pulpit. No. No. He doesn't even, we don't have liberty to preach or to preach about the sinful works of man, what man's doing. No, we preach and proclaim Christ. And Christ and Him crucified. Oh, the only hope for sinners, we're to speak the mystery of Christ. Gospel truths concerning Christ are a mystery. They cannot be understood by the unregenerate mind. And just think back of before we were saved. I didn't know anything about justification. I didn't even, to be honest with you, I don't even think I knew what the word, it never really entered my vocabulary. Redemption? I didn't understand any of that. None of that stuff. Now these wonderful truths, I see them scattered all through the Scriptures. And this book's alive, beloved. My. And it's a mine of endless jewels from the Lord. It's incredible. Gospel truths concerning Christ are a mystery. They cannot be understood by the unregenerate mind. They must be revealed by God. They must be revealed by God. And God uses the preaching of the gospel. He uses sinful men who have been saved by His grace to So preach and proclaim the wondrous truths of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's incredible. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he takes that preaching and he reveals Christ to other lost sinners. And then he builds up all of us saints who get together. And he builds us up in Christ. The preacher never sees what's happening with God's word, but it's penetrating. It's penetrating. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So Paul could not preach anything else, beloved. Paul desired to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak the mystery of Christ, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, of his person, of his work, where he is now, and the hope that believers have in him right now. Right now. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this, and this is true of every gospel preacher. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. My. So Paul, think of this too. Paul didn't preach about his own works, did he? He didn't preach about his own works. He didn't tell people that he's doing this and doing that. No, he preached about Christ's work. This is what Christ has done. Christ died for his people. Paul didn't preach about our merit because we don't have any before God, but he didn't preach on that like morality preachers do. No, but he did. He did bring forth the merit of Christ's finished work on the cross for his people. Paul did not preach about man's so-called righteousness. He proclaimed that we have none. But he did proclaim that the believer is clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Paul did not preach about man's supposed wisdom, but he did preach Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Paul did not preach about man being able to sanctify himself. He preached Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom the believer is sanctified. Paul did not teach that we could fulfill the law by our own works. No. He preached we cannot even keep the law. He preached that if we break the law in one point, we broke it all. But he did preach that Christ fulfilled the law in the believer's place. And he did preach that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He did preach that for those who believe. Paul did not preach you could be saved by your own works. No. He proclaimed we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done. But he did proclaim that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. He did preach that. Beloved, salvation is of the Lord. It's a work of God. And Paul preached and proclaimed the all-sufficient, complete Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen that in our study in Colossians. The all-sufficient, complete Savior of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had absolutely nothing to glory in. Nothing to glory in, beloved. Save in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Look at our text again. Wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, when a door of utterance is open for a gospel preacher, they proclaim the mystery spoken of in our text. Now, one of the mysteries we proclaim is that there are three divine persons that make up the great majestic God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is a mystery unless it's revealed by God. When a door of utterance is open for the gospel preacher, they proclaim the unconditional electing grace of God in Christ alone. That God himself chose a people in eternity for himself. and that he would save them by his grace, granting them faith and repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a mystery unless it's revealed by God. It's a mystery unless it's revealed by God. When the gospel, when a door of utterance is opened for the gospel preacher, they proclaim the perfect righteousness of Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ that he established for his people by his perfect obedience to the will of God and to the law of God. And this is an absolute mystery unless God reveals it. When a door of utterance is opened for the gospel preacher, they proclaim the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his substitutionary death for his elect, for his people, that satisfied the holy justice of God, enabling him to be just and justifier. Just and justifier of those who believe. And again, this is a mystery unless it's revealed by God. When a door of utterance is opened for the gospel preacher, they proclaim the miracle of the new birth, that God's chosen blood-bought people are taken out of darkness and translated into the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ under the preaching of his gospel. And this is a mystery unless it's revealed by God. When a door of utterance is opened for the gospel preacher, they proclaim the believers walk by faith, serving the Lord Jesus Christ out of love. We're not saved by our works. We live a life of faith. We walk by faith, beloved. We walk by faith out of the love of him, love for him, for Christ. And this is a mystery to the unregenerate, but it is revealed to God's people by the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And all those truths are revealed by the Holy Spirit of God to his people. Again, our text proclaims, wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Now, Paul asked for prayer that he might have a door of utterance open for him, that he might make it, the mystery of the gospel, manifest as he ought to speak. That's in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And over in chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, Paul mentions this mystery, which has now been manifested. Now look at this. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Just let that sink in. Ages and generations. How many people? Hid. Even the mystery which hath... How many people now? Even is it hid? Praise God if he's revealed Christ to you. Give him all the glory. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. Manifested to his people. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach. What's the one topic for gospel preachers? Christ. Christ in him. No one can ever tell me I'll preach Christ too much. If they say that, I'll say thank you. They said that to Brother Henry. He said, you preach Christ too much. He goes, thank you very much. That's a compliment. We preach Christ, beloved. Whom we preach. What? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, under the old Mosaic economy, the gospel was, as John Gill put it, wrapped up in types and shadows and sacrifices, and is still hidden unto the natural man. And it's still hidden. It's hidden unto the natural man, unless God... It was hidden to me until God revealed it. Is it so with you? And when he revealed it, you found the pearl of great price. My goodness. My goodness, beloved. Now, Paul desires, again, that he would be given the liberty and opportunities and power from on high to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, when Paul preached, think of this too. When Paul preached, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Now, when Paul preached, he didn't use enticing words of wisdom. He didn't use fancy words and enticing words of wisdom. He used a plainness of speech. And remember this, he was well-educated, beloved. He was well-educated. He had sat under some of the most renowned teachers of his day. But Paul did not speak with words which his hearers could not understand. No, he wanted to be understood. He wanted to be understood, beloved. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, though Paul was a well-educated in Jewish learning, and he had a good knowledge of Greek literature, and he was probably capable, some commentators say he was capable of conversing with almost anyone on the current thoughts and issues of the day. He was a very intelligent man. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was resolved to make nothing the subject of his ministry and message save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a contrast to some folks that make whole ministries out of end time stuff. Or make whole ministries out of this and that. How to live a successful Christian life. The gospel preacher has one topic. Just like Paul. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That which was the greatest offense to others was the most delightful to Paul. That which was the greatest offense to others was the most delightful to him, because salvation comes only through and by the obedience and death of Christ. Only by what he's done. So Paul, even though they told him not to preach anymore, he just kept preaching. He just kept proclaiming Christ because he had a commission from God. He's a good soldier, beloved. He's a good soldier. Now what did he tell his hearers? Oh, beloved, he told his hearers who Jesus Christ is. He's the God-man, our Creator, incarnate. He told his hearers what Jesus did. He fully justified his people by his perfect obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. My. He told his hearers who God's people, who they are. They're the elect of God. They're his chosen people. They're his sheep. Those who believe the true gospel are his people. Paul told his hearers where Jesus Christ is right now. Right now. He's risen. He's risen. And he has ascended into heaven. And he is seated. He is seated on the sovereign throne of power right now. Right this second. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. All the way into eternity. My. And he told his hearers that Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming again. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God, on those who do not obey his gospel. But he is coming again to receive all of his redeemed saints, beloved, unto himself, and wherever be with him in glory. My. Paul asked for prayer, that he might make manifest the mystery of Christ, as he was allowed the honor of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's that great soldier of the cross, and he knew that only God could reveal the mystery. Only God could reveal the mystery of Christ to the heart. Unregenerate men and women will remain in darkness unless God himself commands the light to shine in their hearts, revealing his glory in the face of Jesus Christ and him alone. 2 Timothy 1:8-10 says this: Be Not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Again, Paul's writing, and he's in prisoner. He's a prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And remember, he's writing to a young preacher. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. Christ is the one who saved us, beloved. And called us. Christ is the one who called us with an effectual calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. You're saved. If you're redeemed, you're saved according to His own purpose and grace. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Which was given us now. Now think of it. And this is for every one of us who believe. Was given to us in Christ Jesus. My. My, what mercy. When? Before the world began. Before the world began. You mean I just didn't receive it when I believed? No. No. The believer is chosen in Christ from eternity, beloved. My goodness. What a Savior. But is now made what? Manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you see now why Paul desired that the door of utterance would be opened? So that he could preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with liberty. He's in bonds and he's not asking to get out of his chains. But he's asking, Lord, if you open the door, please open the door, maybe for the guard, so we could talk to the guard about the free grace of God in Christ. My. My. Now, the voice of the preacher is important. We must preach the gospel. That's our commission as gospel preachers. But we're just mouthpieces. We're just mouthpieces. Proclaiming that which is most important, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord alone can open the heart. Our Lord alone is the only one who can grant faith. Our Lord alone is the only one who can give repentance to needy sinners. Only Him. Only Him. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 4:5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. You didn't just hear words, but in power. In power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. My. The gospel comes in power. In the power of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Beloved, pray for your pastor. Pray for other gospel preachers that you know. Pray for us. Pray for us that God would open a door of utterance for us. Whether it's when we're walking around town or whether when we're preaching and proclaiming the gospel, because this is as much a door of utterance as when I'm talking to someone else too. Oh, pray. Pray that God would open doors of utterance for His preachers. Oh, pray. Pray that a door of utterance may be open, and pray that the door of men's hearts, those who will hear, pray that God, if He desires, will open their hearts like He did with Lydia, right? Granting her faith and repentance to believe the gospel. Men may hear the gospel with natural ears and still not hear with the heart. But the gospel of God's grace and glory is a mystery, as we saw tonight in our text, which must be revealed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Else men will remain in darkness, even after hearing the precious gospel. And then pray that the door of my lips may be open. Pray that God would give me words to say and the ability to say them, and the wisdom to do it all for His glory. And pray that I may preach the gospel faithfully and boldly, with clearness of speech, clarity of speech, as I ought. Please keep we preachers in your prayers. May God be glorified through the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we just come before Thee, oh, and seeing how Paul the Apostle, while he was in bonds, praying that the door of utterance would be opened up for him to speak the gospel boldly. Lord, we just lift up our gospel preachers to you tonight, preachers that we know. We pray that you would open up doors of utterance for them, and that they may be able to speak the gospel boldly, give them words to say and clarity of mind, and bring back things that they've studied to be able to preach and proclaim the wonderful, unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your people would be blessed by this message, all that we would leave here rejoicing. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.